Okay, let's get in the Word, shall we? Last week I started a message, and we had a kind of a longer service because honestly I was sharing my heart and sharing the message and sharing this and sharing that, and I kind of went all over the board. And basically what it's about, the message last week is, the title of the message, which has now become a series, is Where Are We? Now last week was about where are we in the validity of the Word in our lives, the validity of the Word of God in our lives. Where are we with the credibility that we give the Word of God in our lives for real? Where are we? Now, for each one of us, it's going to be a little different, right? We all want to say, hey man, it's all of it. I take the whole Word, and it's all got the validity and the credibility in every way, shape, and form, and I'm so full of absolute faith in every way. No, that's not true. Because we're all at different points. But it's understanding that, because I want us all to understand and be clear on this. We have to take a look at these things now. We have to. Okay? A lot of what we've been teaching and grounding our church in for a long time are all the facets of God's grace, which is huge. I mean, it's limitless. It's non-ending, according to the Word, and faith, and this understanding. Now, it all takes the basis of the Word of God. And where we are with the Word, that all is what we're going to see based on where we are in the validity that we give it. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have in our lives the product of what we believe and the credibility that we give the Word as the truth in our lives. We can say, yeah, you know, I believe it again, but, you know, we don't know that we really do. Because sometimes there's just stinking doubt. Sometimes until we walk through and we gain experience in some area, then we can believe. And so on and so forth. But our lives are the product of the validity that we give the Word, the credibility that we give the Word in our lives. And we see that fruit right now. Doesn't mean we're going to stay there. Okay? But that's the truth. That's the reality. Now, this has become a series because we need to take inventory of where we are. After two and a half months of downtime and being locked in and kind of not touching anybody else's life, not really just kind of being us together with us. You understand that our focus has narrowed down, right? Over 2 months of forced downtime, forced isolation, our focus has been kind of narrowed down to us. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's been forced. So, we have to take inventory of where we really are because it is not about us. Amen. Okay? All right. I want to go through, and please understand this is just a synopsis, but I want to go through some of the points of what we've seen over the last 2.5 months, all of us. What we've experienced and what we've viewed going on around us. We have seen oppression, governmental oppression, and overreaching control by the state and the federal government in all our lives. Something that we, as Americans, are not accustomed to. Amen. A lot of the rest of the world is. They've been through this. But we have had a glimpse of communism and socialism forced on us. So we have seen this. This is a real fact. We have seen the removal of our constitutional rights and the loss of our freedoms. We have seen that. It's still ongoing. We have seen the manufacturing of fear and panic over what should never have been, ever. We have seen the loss of jobs and businesses, and that's not over. We have seen some ironies of different things, different perceptions of what's happening around us. Everything from, I saw a man wearing a mask, sucking on a cigarette right down to his toes. That's an irony. Saw a woman dressed, I was going to say dressed to kill, dressed with a full, almost a suit, a hazmat type suit, with goggles and covered completely, goggles and a great big mask and gloves, big gloves that come up to the elbows, and had her shirt open and said, Jesus is enough. That's an irony. We've seen a barber who's a hero for cutting hair. These are ironic things in our time right now. We've seen protests and lawsuits against our government, which we were almost on. The reason I say that is because I went to our attorney to file suit against the governor. Three churches beat me to it. And that's what made the change in the executive order. We've seen provision come in supernatural ways to the church, which has been amazing. And we did not take the government stimulus. I will not do that. We've seen miracles and healings throughout this time. We've seen a deepening of our confidence in God through forced time to have a relationship with Him. Do you understand what I mean? Most of us have taken this time and redeemed it and used it to draw nearer to the Lord, not waste it. We've seen the condition of our own hearts and the depth of the Word of God in reality in our lives. There have also been questions that have come up in each one of us. I'm not going to cover them all, but let me give you three of them. Okay? In this time and what we've seen. One of the questions is, what do I do with this reaction inside of me that wants to emotionally fight and chafe against these things? What am I to do with these emotions? What do I do with them? I'm back and forth, I'm up and down. And I'm battling this inside of me because I'm doing the same thing you all have been doing. Another question is, how do I know when it's right to submit to the governing authorities over us, as Romans chapter 13 says? And how do I know when it's right to resist those same authorities, as Peter said in Acts chapter 4? How do I know? These are the questions that have come up. Only the Word of God. Only the Word of God. And discipleship in Jesus is going to bring those answers to all this conflicting information that's going on around us. I don't know if you heard the last sermon I gave before this lockdown, but it was called Straight Talk. And I began to touch on what was coming. Please hear me on this. There is a whole lot more going on behind the scenes than what you might read on the surface of these very biased and mostly very corrupt news reports. They're not news. They're opinions. They're based in feelings or judgments or decisions that somebody has made, or they're based in corporate control. That's it. What we are to be fed. There is a lot more going on behind the scenes. We're going to touch on these things as we go forward, because this is a part of what I have to do. This is a part of my personal mandate. You have to be informed so you can begin to make some decisions.
Amen.
You have to be. Okay? We are at the end, in case you don't know. We're in the last days. This time, and during this time, has been a test. Corona. Corona time. Not the beer. Corona time has been a test. This is to ferret out how this will work. This is real. Okay? This is not my opinion, and it is not subjective. This is real. If you've done your background and done your research, I've been doing this research on this for a long time. I shared the videos a couple of months ago. The economy is going to come back. Yeah. We're going to lose some businesses. People are going to lose some business, but the economy is going to come back. And it's going to be better, even better than it was before it went down. This is not the last time Corona or something like Corona is coming, because it's coming around again. Something. Lockdown, shut down. Take your rights is coming. Do not be lulled into a false sense of security when things get fully better. Do not fall for that. We are to hear and we are to prepare our lives, our hearts, as kingdom people. Okay? We're not to be caught unaware like the world. The call of God is very strong to those who want to hear, and very clear. Things in the church, I'm talking about the whole church, have to change. They have to change. We cannot be fat, dumb, and happy anymore. Sing our songs and rah-rah grace, which is great. But this is a wake-up call, church. This time is a wake-up call. We're not quite through this yet, but we're coming out. The siege is over. But this is a wake-up call for all of us. Now, we're not going to get caught unawares, are we? Okay. Jesus is coming back soon. That's a reality. It is real. Amen. All right. So, here's my question for all of us. Knowing all this, being aware of all this, and not even the depth of it, but being aware of and discerning the times and discerning what's going on and not being gullible, where are we, first and foremost, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ? Where are we? Don't stick your hands up on anything, but I want you to think about these things seriously. Where are we as those entrusted with the mysteries of the kingdom? Where are we as spiritual people, not carnal. Heavenly men and women, not fleshly. No matter what the circumstances are around us. The circumstances do not determine whether we're spiritual people. The Word does, and what happened to us when we got born again determines who and what we are. So where are we as those spiritual people, not fleshly? Where are we as knowing God and having faith in God and His Word first and foremost before we see, read, hear anything else? Where are we in submitting to Him? Not ourselves, not our feelings, not the news, not even the government, if it's morally or ethically wrong. Where are we as adopted sons and daughters of the Most High God? Where are we? Where are we as messengers of the gospel of His grace and His love in reaching the world? Where are we as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ? We're taking inventory right now. That's what we're doing. This is how you take inventory. You take stock of you. This is how I do it. So I'm sharing with you how I do it, because we all need to do it. So here's the question. What is a disciple? I mean, in reality, when you think about a disciple of Jesus Christ, a disciple of grace and truth, a disciple of the Master, a disciple of God who came and emptied Himself of everything God, came to earth as the Son of Man to live perfectly for us, fulfill the law for us, take on Him every sin, become sin, and take on every sickness and disease, be buried and rise from the dead for us. What is it to be a disciple of Him? A disciple in the Greek means a student. A student is somebody that never stops learning from the teacher. Always learning from the teacher. Never set and stationary, but continuing to learn. Now, for a student, it's not just the learning and teaching. It's the doing and the living. A disciple of Jesus. To be a disciple of Jesus, I want to talk about true discipleship. True discipleship is a commitment. It's not just a word commitment. Yeah, I'm committed. It's a commitment from our hearts to say, yep, yes, Lord. I'm going to follow You. I'm going to be Your disciple. I'm going to learn from You, and I'm going to do like You do in everything. Jesus said, I bet you wondered if I was going to get in the Word. Matthew 8, I'm going to just paraphrase this right now. Matthew chapter 8, verses 18 through 22. We're speaking about commitment here, and from the heart, not just in word. Because somebody that just is a disciple in word is a conditional disciple. Somebody that doesn't live as a disciple of the Master or a student of Jesus Christ is really put strings on it. I call it conditional discipleship. I'll do it my way, not your way. Matthew 8, verses 18 through 22, Jesus was speaking to a scribe, of somebody, a religious leader, who said, I'm going to follow you anywhere. Because he was amazed and mesmerized and excited about all the things that Jesus was doing right there before him. So Jesus looks at him and he says, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to even lay his head. Man, I don't even have a home. I don't have my own bed. I don't even have a pillow. You sure? Are you sure you want to make that commitment and follow me? Are you sure? Do you understand what you're saying? And then another one said, I'll follow you. I'm going to be your disciple, but first let me go bury my father. Now, burying somebody in that time, and I've shared this before in the past, burying somebody in that time meant, okay, you bury them. You let them decay. It takes about a year, year and a half, 2 years. Then you take their bones and you put them in a box. And you seal the box and you bury that. That's the complete burial service. So he was saying, let me take a couple of years and go bury my father. Then I'll come follow you. Not much commitment there, is there? Not really a decision. He said, I got to think about this. I need a couple of years to make sure that you pan out. You really are who you say you are. I need a couple of years to make sure that my wavering is dealt with. I need a couple of years to kind of chew on this. Because I'm not sure. In Luke chapter 14, go with me there for a minute. I want to read this to you. Because I want to read to you how serious this is. Luke chapter 14, I'm going to start with, where am I going to start, Lord? Verse 25. Luke 14, verse 25. Now great multitudes went with Jesus. And he turned and he said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother. Now, I'm sure Jesus wasn't serious about this. Was he? I'll explain this in a minute. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, cannot be my disciple. This is the real deal. When Jesus said, he who doesn't hate, who doesn't love them less than me. Did I say that right? If you don't, this is how it works. If you don't love your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, your wife, and your children, if you don't or won't love me more than them. Now, family at that time, even more than now, way more than now, family was everything. Everything. Family was, I mean, you to say this would have burned their ears. If you love me less than you love them, if you love them more than you love me, you cannot be my disciple. The commitment is that serious. And then he says, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. When Jesus said these things, the seriousness of what he meant, this wasn't just a suggestion. This is, I'm going to speak the truth in love to you. And I'm going to tell you the truth so that you understand what it means to follow me, so that you understand what it means to be a disciple. This is not just in word. This is actually being a real disciple, a true disciple of mine. And that's what he has called us to, is true, real discipleship, not conditional discipleship that's based on our feelings or what we think or what we what we want to do and what we don't want to do, what we pick and what we choose as far as being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Sorry, that doesn't cut it. And it's not to me, but it's with him. If we're going to be a student of Jesus Christ, we're going to do this forever. Until our last breath, we're going to be a student of Jesus. It means following the word of God and living as Jesus lived. If we're choosing to be conditional disciples, and that's what unfortunately a lot of people do, a conditional disciple is kind of like, I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. I'm going to bow to my flesh. I want to satisfy myself. Maybe I will you. Maybe I'll follow you some ways. Maybe. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, he said, and I, brethren and sistren, could not speak to you as spiritual people or disciples of Jesus Christ, real ones, true ones, but as to carnal, as to babies in Christ. It is the difference between discipleship in Jesus and following him according to what he says a disciple is. It's according to his life. It's according to who he is. And what he did and how he lived as the Son of Man was everything that we can do. He didn't do this as God. He didn't live this out as God. He didn't live bringing grace and truth and authority and passion and compassion and empathy and love in the midst of all the stuff that came at him, just like it has with the semblance of what we've seen with Corona around us. He did everything as a son of his father. He demonstrated the nature, the love, the care, the power, the compassion of God. And that's what we're called to do in every single way as disciples of Jesus Christ. A true disciple of Jesus is established and committed to him, to living like him. A true disciple of Jesus Christ is spiritual and thinks of themselves that way, not fleshly. When we're born again, we're a new creation. The nature of God is in us. The Spirit of God is in us. The mind of Christ is in us. And we are in him. Our lives are hidden in him. And he is our identity. Jesus is. And we live through him, not us anymore. That's what it means to be spiritual people. And we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven first, before we are citizens of the United States of America. Okay? So Paul, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, gave us some instruction. Would you turn to Colossians, please, chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And I'm going to wrap with this. Colossians chapter 2. Now he's writing, this is Paul, the greatest grace teacher, is writing to us. He's the greatest grace teacher next to Jesus. Colossians 2, I'm only going to read to you verses 6 and 7. He writes, as you therefore, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's who he's writing to, have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Let me break it down. verse 6. To those of you that are born again, who have become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you have received him, and to the degree that you have received understanding and revelation and knowledge and faith for the whole of salvation and your identity in him and your adoption as sons and daughters, live it out in and through him. Do you need me to repeat that? You can hear it on the podcast, okay? And then verse 7. After that, being rooted and anchored deeply in him. And he says this first, to be rooted deeply. That means we don't stop. We don't get content. We keep pressing in. We want more. We want to grow more. And it is not easy. You know, it's not easy for roots to break through. They grow, but man, it takes time and it takes effort to grow roots deeply. It is not something that just happens when you flip the switch. That's what we're used to. No, it takes pressing in this growth aspect because this is our foundation. This is what we build on. If your roots aren't deep, it's going to topple, right? Rooted first in him and built up in him. You cannot build up unless your roots go deep. I spoke last week about, you know, the four areas of the heart in Mark chapter 4 that Jesus was speaking to about the sower and the seed. You got the hard path, you got the rocky path, you got the weedy path, and then you got the good ground. And every one of those first three are, their hearts are conditioned to receive only so much because that's what they really, what they want. A hard path says, I don't want it. The rocky part, the rocky ground that is shallow says, I only want so much. That's all I want. I'm a surface dweller. And the one that's choked by weeds chokes the life right out of the word, out of the seed. Those are the ones that say, I want what I want first. I love what I want first before you. And then the last is the one that produces 30 and 60 and 100 fold in their life. That's a disciple of Jesus Christ, where their roots go deep and they build from there. And they don't just hear, they do according to what they've received or know or understand or have revelation in to that point, but never staying just there. Make sense? Okay. Rooted and anchored deeply and building in him, not in us, in him, and established in the faith of Jesus Christ. When we talk about the faith of God or the faith of Jesus Christ, it is our faith in what his faith accomplished. Going on, I can't spend any time there. Going on. Rooted, anchored deeply in him and building in him and established in the faith through correct doctrine. And when I say correct doctrine, let's leave the religiosity off. Okay? Let's take that out of it. The works and the works mentality and the self-penalizing. And it is the doctrine of God's grace to us and his love to us. Through correct doctrine. And then through that, even in the hard times, the oppressive times, the unjust times like what we've been experiencing. It's overflowing with thanksgiving and gratefulness to Him. These are instructions to disciples of Jesus Christ, to us. Are we really a disciple? This is where we decide, where are we? Do I make a commitment to walk in all of what I am called to? This strong call of God on our lives? Do I walk in it all, or do I walk in what I pick and choose? Do I walk in it the way that I want, or do I walk in it the way the Word says, the way that He says, and the way that He did? Do I walk in His power to do and His ability to do? That's what grace is. And to overcome, even in the midst of all this other stuff, do I walk in that as a disciple of Jesus, or do I walk in the way that I want to walk because I've got conflict going on inside of me because I'm not used to being oppressed and losing my freedoms? And I don't like it. I don't like it as much as you do. Or don't. But do we walk as a disciple of Jesus Christ first? And that's what we have to reconcile in us. If we're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And a citizen of the kingdom of heaven here and now. Because this ain't our home. Amen. And every time we think about this being permanent, I'm going to tell you the United States is not permanent. It is not permanent. It is not permanent. I love my country. But this country ain't going to be around forever. So what do we do? Where do we start? We have to determine where we are. This is a very personal and a very individual thing. This has no bearing on families, no bearing on relatives, no bearing on our friendships or anything else. This is you and me, Lord. That's it. We have to take inventory. So we have to take honest inventory, number one, of where we are, and we have to be willing, this is about true discipleship, to make a commitment. And this is a lifelong heart commitment, like a marriage. I'm going to be your disciple, Jesus, for the rest of my life. First. Number two, we have to remain teachable. We can say we're teachable, we can think we're teachable, but when it comes down to our hearts, are we really? We're the only ones that can answer that. We have to remain teachable. Number three, we have to know, and we've been through this, but we'll keep reinforcing it. We have to know, and if we don't know, we have to learn our real or our true identity in Jesus Christ. We have to know that. And we have to continue to learn what it means in this identity that we really have and really are, what it means to be a disciple. And number four, as a disciple, we have a purpose, big purpose, in and for His kingdom, for the time that we have left in this life before His return. We have a big, huge purpose. And we have to keep that in our minds and in our hearts. My heart is that all of us will grow, put our roots out much deeper than we ever have before. And that this time of forced self-inventory that we've been through and still are in some ways will push us to be the people even far greater than we have been of what God has called us to be as disciples of Jesus Christ. Much more. The power of God in this body, in this church, House on the Rock, is astounding. It is mind-blowing. We have God's power is just lavished on us. When we become more and more disciples of Jesus Christ, we'll know what to do and how to wield that power to a far greater degree than what we have and what we've seen. The miracles, the healings, the signs and wonders, the reaching of the lost has only been an inkling of what God has called and set us aside for. This is our wake-up call. Amen? Amen. Would you stand, please? Prayer, team, people, come on up. Wow, we got a lot of you. Praise the Lord. Anybody need prayer? We have not had a prayer team available for 2.5 months. Does anybody need prayer? Are you all good? Does anybody need prayer? Does everybody know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Does everybody have the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues? If you do not have either one of those, this is your day. Anybody need a healing, a miracle, a breakthrough? How about a revelation? How about a revelation of who you are? Anybody need some direction? How about a prophetic word? I'm going to pray. I'm going to wrap up. They are up here for this to serve you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you so much for Jesus. I am forever so grateful. Lord, we love you. Help us to live as your disciples for real for the rest of our lives and accomplish your kingdom purposes. To remember that we're citizens of your kingdom first. And Lord, I want to thank you for beginning to sort out those questions that we have all faced according to your word and our walk with you in the midst of all that we've seen in the last couple months. Thank you for the wake-up call, Lord. We love you and we honor you. Thank you for a most blessed week. For your divine protection over us, your divine health in us, your prosperity to us, and your preservation in our lives. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed, blessed week. I love you.